You know, I want to tell a little Thanksgiving story. How many is, you don't have to raise your hand and admit this failure that I did, but how many has ever cooked a turkey and then you found out later that extra little bag inside the turkey? You know, I remember the first one I made when I was living in Denver. You know, we never made it home, my roommates and I, and, you know, we cooked a turkey and then we started cutting it open and then we found those extra turkey parts. You know, and still in the bag. So has anybody want to raise their hand? A couple of you? Yeah, okay. Yeah, we've all probably been there. It's kind of interesting. So those you don't, you're pointing, Jeff? Going to be a long ride home, isn't it? Yeah, amen. So we're going to look today at how to give thanks. And something the Lord laid on my heart is how to turn in Thanksgiving into thanksgiving. Turning Thanksgiving into thanksgiving and how important it is that we, learn to deal with the things that are going on in life and how we can try to, you know, leverage, you know, some of those things and let God cause all things to work together for good, okay? You know, given everything that's going on, you know, to me, it's hard to be a happy camper all the time. You know, there's a lot of people under a lot of stress and strain now with this virus and things that are going on. And I think sometimes, as we get involved in these problems and these situations, that, you know, we become not as thankful as we should be. Because we've taken our eyes off of all the good and we start to put it on the bad. And that's what happens when we tend to focus on negative things in our life. See, that's why the news on TV usually focuses on the bad things that are happening in the world. See, misery loves company. And we need to learn how not to get sucked into that negative flow and try to stay as positive as possible so we can, you know, make a difference, you know, in the lives of those around us. And so I think if we learn how to walk in thanksgiving, it'll help us to get on track. The passage I want to look at today is one I think we've looked at earlier in the year, but I still want to share this today. It's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it's verse 16 to 18. I'm first going to read it from the New American Standard, then I want to read it from the NIV Bible. It says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." All of us want to be in God's will, amen? Well, there's three points we can do. Now, the NIV words are a little different, and it's good because to look at different translations because you get a little different picture in your mind. It says, "Rejoice always, pray continually." And then it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. We thank you for that anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage on our lives, Lord. We know that it seems like sometimes we live in difficult times, that things don't go according to plan. But Lord, we know that you're greater than all that, and nothing's impossible with you. Lord, I thank you for your hand to be upon my life and the gift you put inside of me. Lord, I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And of course, for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. We bind Satan from trying to steal the word out of our hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so these are three things that you and I can look at. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. Now, these things are essential if we're going to live a life to bring glory to Jesus' name. Now, the first one, it talks about rejoice. And we talked about the power of joy several months ago. But I want to ask us, do we feel like we've been COVIDly challenged later? You know what I mean? COVIDly challenged. It just seems like everywhere you go, there's always news about this virus. And I know sometimes we make fun about it, but it is a serious situation, you know, just like they have curfews. And so the virus will attack you before 10 o'clock, but not after 10 o'clock, you know, just stuff like that. But on the serious side of it, you know, the virus is around us. And sometimes people have had to quarantine and be locked in the house. And here we're heading into winter, where all of a sudden some people also get cabin fever. So it just kind of puts a little extra stress on families and our emotions and things like this. And it can get us bummed out. And sometimes when these things are going on in our life, it's just kind of hard. Just kind of hard to be joyful. Hard to have the joy of the Lord. Especially if you're unfortunate enough to have a Debbie Downer or a Bobby Bummer in your life. Has anybody got, don't say who it is. But you know, we all have those people that are around us. Sometimes that, you know that if you're going to bump into them or you're going to talk to them, it's not going to be a positive conversation. They're going to start spouting off all the things that are wrong and problems. And, you know, it's one thing to mention those things if you want prayer, but sometimes they're bragging about how many problems they have. They thrive on the fact that how hard life is. So sometimes we just want to move on and just keep going. And what I found out is that it takes us to a place that we don't really want to go. Now, on the other hand, here's what I enjoy. I like hanging around with Freddie Faith and Julie Joyful, because those people's going to lift you up. Those people's going to make a positive Christian spiritual impact on you. And what I found out when I'm around people of like precious faith, my joy meter goes up. I stop looking at the problem and I start looking at the answer. I start to see the things that are possible and I forget about the things that sometimes it seems are going to be impossible. So those things are important. So now granted, you know, if Debbie Downer and Bobby Bummer is your friends, you can limit that. But if you're related to them, that is a problem, isn't it? Hopefully you can pray and get them turned the corner. You know, so we need to have joy if we're going to survive in these difficult times. And it's a joy of the Lord. And how important it is to have that operating in our life. Because, you know, everybody listening to my voice today has probably faced some form of disappointment. Probably in the last week or at least the last month. You know, many people are canceling their family plans. Many people have rearranged their schedules and all these different things that are going on. And sometimes it's disappointing, you know, especially if you want to see somebody that you haven't seen in a while. So all these things come in our life. And, you know, what I feel is that, you know, also some people face some disappointment. Have you, maybe God didn't answer your prayer exactly like you wanted? Have you ever had that happen? You know, I think we all have. You know, so you're a little disappointed. And I'll tell you what, if we allow ourselves to be disappointed in God, that's rough. So we got to be careful that we don't go down that road. Sometimes things don't work out the way we want, but I'll tell you what, we just got to hang in there. But what I found works for me, instead of thinking how stressed we are, we need to remember how blessed we are. And we can all do that. Each and every person here today can think of something in their life that is a blessing. Something that is good. And if we hold on to that thought, see, we can control what we think about. See, we may not be able to control every thought that comes into our mind, but you can control the ones that stay there. And that's a fact. And if we choose to allow those negative or those non-thankful, non-joyful thoughts to stay in our mind about, oh, I have this problem. Oh, I have a bad hair day. You know, hey, you know what I'm saying? I have bad hair days every day and it don't bother me a bit. You know what I mean? You just can't think of those things. You got to focus on the good things that God is doing to your life. I've found out that more times than not, God can turn a bad experience into a good outcome. Amen. It just all depends on how you look at it and what you're expecting, what you want to see, and if you're willing to fight the good fight of faith and being able to walk in the things of God. And we've looked at before, like I said, we preached about joy. There's a difference between happiness and joy, and that's how we get messed up, because we base everything on happiness. And happiness, it technically is circumstances based. And if things go wrong, you're not happy anymore. That's why people fall in and out of love with each other, because those things happen. Or that's why people get mad at each other and they don't want to talk to each other, because that person maybe doesn't make them happy. Maybe things didn't go well at work and I'm not happy, so I just quit and I change jobs and job and all these different things, because we base everything on happiness. But God never says we're going to be happy all the time, but He does say we can be joyful. He does say we can have the joy of the Lord. And it's that joy that'll help us to overcome, to be able to live the life that He's called us to do. See, it takes faith to stay joyful in a problem-based environment. Now, I'm not making light of this because I understand. I have been in some problem-based environments in my life. I know what it's like to go through maybe a month or 2 months of just sheer torture and battle emotionally. Things just ain't going my way, and it just weighs on you, and it pulls you down. But see, we can respond negatively, or we can put our faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And we can start to change what our mouth is saying. And we can start to turn those situations and those circumstances around. See, nobody likes to be quarantined. Nobody likes to get sick. But it's things that we are dealing with in our culture right now. And the media loves to sell bad news. Now, I'm not making light of this. Don't misunderstand me, because people have lost loved ones. You know, I lost my mother this year. And I know that some things are serious in life. But if you really look at things, the percentage of people that die with the coronavirus is very small. One life is important, but we have to see the fact that it doesn't have the power that the media says it does. We have to not focus on what they're telling us, but look at what God says. Amen. Look at what the Word says, what we can have trust. If you're a Christian and you die,
Amen.
From what I read, it's a plus. Now, I'm not running out in front of the traffic, you know. I believe I don't tempt that. But I'm just saying, when it's my time to go, don't take this personally. I probably won't miss you guys. You know what I'm saying? I won't miss my wife. Now, she's in the other room teaching right now. You know, I don't know if she's going to listen to this or not. But I'm just saying, what I've read, it's an awesome place. To be in the presence of the Lord. I mean, y'all, we get it, don't we? Sometimes down here, when we get to worshiping or maybe your prayer. I mean, the other day in prayer, I thought the heavens were going to open the other day over here. I mean, in my office. I mean, it might still be in there. I don't know. But I'll tell you what, it was just powerful. And then I had a time at home. And sometimes when you're here worshiping, you just feel like you could just rise up. And just think how much more it's going to be when we shed this body that is prone to sin, that is prone to failure. And we're in the presence of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Awesome. Going to be awesome. You know, don't hurry it, because we need you here. We need to reach as many people as we can. But when it's time to go, praise God. You know, we've lived our life to bring glory to His name. And so what I found is the fact that we usually find what we're looking for out of life. And it all depends on where our focus is. You know, something the Lord spoke to me several weeks ago, are we always looking for a loophole or are we looking for a solution? A lot of people like to take the path of least resistance and we're trying to get out of difficult situations. But I'll tell you what, Jesus Christ can give us the solution that we need to deal with that hard problem instead of running from it and going the other way. So I encourage you, don't look for loopholes in your life. We need to stop looking for a way around our problems and start to looking for a way through our problems. Meet them head on. Use the Word of God. Let the Holy Ghost inside of you rise up. Rise up and lead you through that problem so you can overcome. And when you look back, just dust your hands off. Bless God. You know, Jesus is Lord. Praise God. And move on to the next one. So God is good. So joy in the Spirit, to me, is based on our position in Christ. And that's why it's important that we understand who we are and what we have. See, when you were born again, you changed, hopefully, amen? If you didn't change, it maybe didn't work. No, I'm kidding. It worked. You're just fighting it awful bad. You know, don't fight it. As the Borg say, resistance is futile, right? That's my Star Trek joke. Sorry, I couldn't help. I like watching Star Trek. But, you know, just let go and let God. Let Him take control. Let Him make the changes in our life that He wants to make. Oh, yeah, some of them could be a little painful. But for the most part, everything that God has done in my life has always been for my benefit. I've always become better on the other side. And that's how good our God is. So we need that joy. See, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength in Nehemiah, doesn't it? The joy of the Lord is our strength. See, it's that strength that we get from God, that joy that in the face of that bad report, when the doctor tells you something that's not good, Or maybe some things at work haven't went the way you wanted. It's that joy that rises up inside of you. And it carries you through. And it helps you to overcome. That you're not moved by what they tell you. But you know your God is the foundation that we stand on and how important that is. See, this joy is based on us seeing the hand of God working in our life. And believe me, people, God is working. Sometimes, you know, we may not notice it. Sometimes we may not feel it's working as fast as we want. But I can look back at my life, all through my life, and I can see that God's hand was there, especially at the time that I needed it. When I needed Him the most, He was there. When I was willing to acknowledge Him the most, He was there. And He brought me through. Different times in my life, I was ashamed of Him. You know, I wasn't a Christian yet, but I was seeking after Him. But I wasn't there, and maybe I turned my back on Him, but He never, ever turned His back on me. And I know He will never turn His back on you. And you can have confidence in that, that His love will always be there in your life. And it's that joy that we need. And it comes by, it's always based on remembering our future salvation. You know, Jesus came and He endured the cross. It says so in Hebrews 12:2, that for the joy set Him before Him, He endured the cross. He knew what He had to go through to get back to where He needed to be. And see, sometimes we got to go through to get to where we needed to be. And it's that joy, that salvation that we hold on to that'll bring us through. See, true believers have joy that is powered by hope. That is what we need to tap into. It's that blessed hope that's inside of us for the second coming of the Lord. I believe He's coming. I don't know if He'll come in my lifetime, but the Bible said He's coming. And we need to be ready for that. We need to live like we're ready for that. See, joy manifests when we can see the present good for the future happiness. See, that's what makes us joyful. That's that joy that carries us through to the other side. See, practicing joy will help us to turn thanksgiving into thanksgiving. And that's where we need to be. Get to that thanksgiving. I'll be honest with you people. The people that I admire the most, the ones that I watch, and it just seems like they're going from glory to glory, are thankful people. And sometimes, I'll be honest, it used to bug me because it looked like they had so little, but they thought they had so much. And they were happy. They were joyful. And they were thankful. And I wasn't. Until I got my head rewired. You know, some say Christianity is brainwashing. No, it's washing your brain. You know what I mean? Because we got some wrong thinking up there. And see, that's what happened. And now I can tap into what they have by practicing that joy. The second thing, as well as rejoice or joy, you know, the scripture says here to pray. You know, prayer is important in our life, isn't it? The Bible says here to pray without ceasing. You know, to pray continually. Now, I know we can't pray just 24/7. But it to me, what I get out of that is the idea that when we're going through day-to-day things that you and I go through, all of a sudden, if you feel like praying, pray. You may not be able to pray out loud. And maybe don't move your lips if you're in a crowd, you know. And make it so they think you're talking to yourself. You know, maybe you have to just pray a different way. But be continually in prayer. Open to the Holy Spirit that here I am, use me. If there's something that needs prayed for, God can count on me. And that's the attitude that we have. This continual, to be a person of prayer. See, to me, daily prayer is not just a good habit. Daily prayer is a God habit. And that's what we need to have. You don't have to pray for hours on end. You just need to take some time to communicate. I call it quality time or sanctified time is a better spiritual word. That means set apart time, whatever you can do. You know, some people pray while they're going to work, but I like to close my eyes when I pray. So I don't, you know, I pray when I drive, and some people pray for me when I'm driving. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I still like to chisel out a little bit of time of my day where I'm just in there, where I'm just focused on Jesus. I'm just there just thinking about the good things of God and praying through. And all of a sudden, you know, sometimes just the Holy Spirit will just show up and, oh, we just have church right there where I'm at. You know what I'm saying? And it's just awesome. Not every time, but enough that it keeps me going back for more. And I encourage you to pursue God in the area of prayer. See, it's that constant communication that we have. You know, somehow when you lose your connection, most of us all have cell phones, and nothing more frustrating, especially for a kid, is that they don't have internet, right? That's a big one for them. Oh, what's the Wi-Fi password? You know, I mean, I need to tap in. I need to have this, you know. But why? They want to have connection. And see, we need that connection with God. You know, some people are challenged in their directions. That's why GPS, right? You know, a lot of people, I mean, I'll be honest, I'm starting to trust it more on my phone. But I used to never trust, I don't trust somebody I don't know telling me where to turn. You know what I'm saying? I just, maybe call me skeptical. You know, but sometimes the phone says, in 100 yards, turn left. You know, I don't see a road there, you know. I'm not going to turn left. No, I usually look things up, but I've gotten better. But what I think about GPS is God positioning spirit, and that's the Holy Ghost. See, we need the Holy Spirit, you know, leading us and guiding us, bearing witness with our spirit that we're children of God. See, prayer keeps us connected so we don't feel we're ever alone. See, we need to learn. Now, this is the most important thing. You're probably one of the most important things you're going to learn today. Is that we need to learn how to rely on the Lord because He's reliable. Do we rely on the Lord? Just take a moment. Do you really trust God? You can tell by the decisions that we make. We can tell by if we know that God is wanting us to do this, to trust Him, are we really doing that? Hey, this challenges me about every year I have a come to Jesus moment in this area. My area of trust, because I'm not good at everything, but I'm halfway decent at a lot of things. You know what I mean? I can get by. I'm kind of a jack of all trades, and I can function in society and things I can do with my hands and my mind. And that can be a blessing or a curse. And see, God challenged me sometime. Can I really let go of this, or am I going to micromanage this? Am I going to try to take God's spot and try to see this through when I just need to let go and let Him? And see, that's what we learn. We learn that in prayer. So to me, you know, when people feel alone, you know, that's a time when we feel most vulnerable. And we've all been alone. We felt lonely. Maybe you don't have somebody in your life right now. You know, and that's hard. I encourage you, grab a hold of God. Grab a hold of the Holy Spirit. Spend some time with Him. Fellowship with other believers. You know, get built up in Jesus. And those things are going to bring you through. And being a person of prayer will help us turn thanksgiving into thanksgiving. Now, the last point I want to see today is the one that we're getting to, thanksgiving. Giving thanks. You know, our culture, it's kind of difficult. I'm trying not to get too political the way I word things. So, no, I don't mean anything like that today. But, you know, we have moved from being thankful to an I deserve it mentality. You know, it's just kind of crazy. All the things, you know, that people want to promise, especially politicians, a lot of them, they promise us this and promise us that so they can buy our vote. Of course I'm going to vote for you. You're going to give me $10,000, right? You know, I deserve that. I may have never worked a lick in my life, but I deserve that. You know, I've never maybe paid very much in taxes, but I get that. You know, I want that. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to help, but I'm saying this, we need to be appreciative. Because if we get over into the I deserve it, it gets us into trouble. And what's rough is sometimes is when we do something nice for somebody and they don't appreciate it. And, you know, you can probably all think of a time in your life that you went out on the limb or you went out and done something for somebody. And you really made a beautiful gesture, and they just kept on trucking. They didn't say thank you or nothing. Don't let that stop you. Don't let people who don't say thank you to stop you from being a good person. Because it can. Because people can be, we can let resentment come in our life and help us not to help people. You know, I know, you know, a lot of times, you know, especially if you have a giving spirit and you just want to give, 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 and sometimes you can burn yourself out. But see, we need to always stay true to God. So be thankful for all things, not in all things. I don't thank God for my problems. I thank God that He's bringing me through my problems. And there's a difference. See, we can learn how to be thankful when we're in those problems. See, the way that we remain thankful is the fact that we know that we're not in this alone, that our God is with us. And you know, everybody has problems, people. Do not think you're the only one. And that's the lie of the devil. See, the devil thinks, well, you're not as spiritual as those other people. You ever see those other people at church? They're always smiling. They never seem to have a problem. You know, all these things, always good for them. They get everything and you get nothing. Well, that's not true. Everybody has a problem at some time in life. Now, I'll be honest with you. If you pay attention to Jesus and follow the leading of the Holy Ghost, I believe you're going to have some less problems. You know, you're going to get attacked from the devil every now and then. That just goes with it. But far as self-inflicted pain, you know what I'm saying? I hate that. I hate it when I hurt myself because I said something wrong or did something wrong. God can turn those situations around and things can go a little better in our life. See, the Bible says just a couple verses from there, down in verse 21, it says, hold on to that which is good. Then we need to let, to me, if we do that, then we need to let go what is bad. Need to let go of things. Don't hold on to them. You know, maybe somebody's done something wrong to you. Maybe I've said something wrong, or maybe it was a misunderstanding. Don't hold on to that. Let it go. Give it over to God. Don't let the devil bring a wedge. You know, be free from that. So we cannot let hard times define us, but let those hard times refine us. We're going to be better on the other side if we're willing to learn and to grow through the problem as we go through the problem. Those things are going to teach us to be thankful. You know, like I say, I'm not thankful for the problem. I'm thankful that God is with me as I go through the problem. See, a good godly attitude will help us to navigate successfully through life. I believe that with all my heart. And make thanksgiving your superpower. And you can do that. You can thank your way into supernatural blessing. I believe that. A thankful person, God is going to continually bless and keep blessings coming their way. Counting your blessings is more profitable than counting your problems. You ever tried that one? You know, a lot of times we count our problems. I got this wrong, that wrong. Oh, that's always wrong. And you keep that pile just keeps bigger and bigger and bigger. So that's all you can see. So you're going to look at the biggest pile. But if we start to count our blessings, start to see the good in the little things, the things that are going on in our life, the things that are going right, because believe me, you do have things that's going right. The problem is that we focus so much on the things that are going wrong. And as we focus on those good things, we're going to start to walk in victory. And that turns that thanksgiving into thanks living. And the key to living a successful life is to learning how to turn moments into momentum. Now, this is important. I want us to catch this. I may go off on this a little bit more sometime. But we all have moments in our life, good moments, don't we? You can probably think of, even in the midst of a really bad situation, you can probably think of something good. You need to take that moment and turn it into momentum and let it get you out of that. Has anybody ever been stuck before? I used to spend my life stuck back when I was a kid out on the farm and different things, all just doing silly things. I like to take shortcuts, you know. And one of the biggest mistakes I made with the tractor is taking a shortcut not long after it rained when I had the big disc on. Oh, I got yelled at for hours over that. Plus, I had to walk home from the field, the walk of shame, you know, because nobody was around me. Dad was in another field plant, and I had the big 2.5-ton disc on, and I took a shortcut, and I buried it. See, I hate it when I get stuck, and see, sometimes we get stuck in things, and we just can't get ourselves out, and that's why we need to turn that around, but turning those good moments in. See, I found out that in the midst of a storm, we can always look for the cloud with the silver lining. And we can hold on to that. You know, celebrate the little victories and the big ones will come. Believe me, celebrate the little victories in your life. You know, what I found out is, you know, I've done a couple house remodels or one at least for myself. And, you know, a lot of times if you don't look at the victory, if you're not going to be happy until you get the whole house done, the whole job's going to be miserable. Hey, you get the roof on. Praise God. It's not going to rain in here no more. You know what I mean? You know, thank God for that. So that's a celebration right there. Well, then you go off and do the electrical or the plumbing and you get all that done and be thankful. Hey, go out and buy yourself a pizza, you know, after you get something done there. You know what I mean? Whatever you like. And then just keep doing that along the project. Don't wait till the end before you get happy or joyful. You know, celebrate along the way. And it's very important. So to do that, we need to look past our problem to see the promise. You know, I like to learn from Peter. You know, I don't know, I love to learn from other people's mistakes so I don't have to make them myself. Now, Peter has done something I haven't done. He walked on water. But the big mistake he made was that when he was walking on the water, he took his eyes off Jesus. And he started to see the storm. He started to see the waves. He started to see the problem. And see, I can learn from that. That's a picture in my mind. Do not ever take your eyes off Jesus when you're in a storm. He's the only true North Star. He's the only true compass that we have to bring us through to the other side. And as we do this, we're going to learn how to appreciate things in our life. And when we appreciate something, we raise its value. Now, some of you may know this, some may not. But if you're, you know, many of you probably have mutual funds. But if you watch the stock market, this is how it works sometimes. Is the fact that when a lot of people start selling, everybody sells and the price keeps getting driven lower and lower. And there may not be a reason for it. They just follow each other like lemmings. But then all of a sudden, when it starts to go off, when people start buying, it goes up. And see, it's like that with our emotions. You know, if we're around negative people, it keeps driving us down, down, down. If we keep thinking about negative things, it's just going to go to the bottom. But if we start to be around positive things and we start to see the good, it's going to drive our value up. It's going to the value of the things that we think about. Because when we learn to appreciate things, whatever it is in your life, it's going to turn Thanksgiving into Thanksgiving. So I think it's interesting that the Lord put prayer sandwiched right between joy and giving thanks. So we need to keep that constant connection and being to walk in that continually Thanksgiving. And we're going up into a holiday here where it's Thanksgiving. And we know Thanksgiving's a day, right? You get turkey, hopefully. But Thanksgiving needs to be Thanksgiving. We need to be thankful all the time for the things that God's doing in our life. And we can do it with the walk of faith, because the walk of faith is a walk of power. And we all have that same potential. Let's pray.